Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
The Europeans are angry. They're angry because the United States sanctioned other Europeans that were here who were using their power to censor us. And the reaction is hilarious. And it's also ridiculous, precisely because they are asserting the opposite of truth when it comes to what's going on here. First of all, we get this from on X from Raphael Glucksmann. For far too long, Europe has been weak in implementing its own laws and defending its own interests. You have chosen to cozy up tyrants and confront democracies. The time has come for us to stand up. Kneel as much as you want in front of Putin. We are the free world now. He's talking about us. We're the ones cozying up to tyrants. I guess this is in relation to Marco Rubio on X saying, for far too long, ideologues in Europe have led organized efforts to coerce American platforms to punish American viewpoints they oppose. The Trump administration will no longer tolerate these egregious acts of extraterritorial censorship. So they're the free world now. I love it. We're bowing to a tyrant because we're fighting for freedom of expression. Now, the United Kingdom has been throwing people in jail for making posts on social media with sentences longer than those given to Islamists who rape British children, yet they insist that they are the true defenders of free speech. On X with France diplomacy, regulating digital platforms to protect citizens, democratic debate, and the rule of law is not censorship. It is responsibility. So, I guess they're defining freedom as slavery now. From Undersecretary of State Sarah B. Rogers, today the United States issued sanctions reinforcing the red line I invoked on GB News, namely extraterritorial censorship of Americans. Today's sanctions target the censorship NGO ecosystem. And she said, to censor Americans in America is a deal breaker. Which I would think that, wouldn't that be sort of like a given? And the sanctions are visa related. They're not invoking severe Magnitsky style financial measures. But if you spend your career fomenting censorship of American speech, you're unwelcome on American soil. Our targets are foreign, but you'll notice that some collaborated with U.S. bureaucrats in Murdy-style speech suppression. Don't worry. We're pursuing transparency, truth, and reconciliation at the State Department, too. We've sanctioned Thierry Breton, a mastermind of the digital, or I guess the mastermind of the Digital Services Act, in August 2024, while serving as European Commissioner for Internal Markets and Digital Services, he published a letter using the DSA to threaten at Elon Musk ahead of his live stream interview with the president. See, Europeans believe that freedom of speech is not inclusive of speech that is harmful. And the only problem with that is who gets to determine what's harmful and what isn't. Objecting to the rape or murder of British women can be deemed harmful. Calling for the murder of Jewish people is not. So as they're lecturing us on freedom of speech, they're proudly describing how they execute Don Reyes to take people's communications away and prevent them from exercising it. And what's striking is how the EU has not figured out that free speech is a total red line for the United States. And Marco Rubio directly warned them on Wednesday that their status as allies of the United States is predicated on respecting the speech rights of Americans and our continuing to share values. Now, this was not only about protecting the rights of Americans, but that was the headline, right? Rubio went much further, calling into question the existence of NATO itself. And a lot of people miss this, but Rubio did bring it up. And coming from X, we get, are we going to live in a world where some American puts up a social media post and then gets to some airport somewhere is arrested? And Rubio's issuing a warning to Americans over Europe's assault on the First Amendment. The longer quote, that was the poll quote. The longer quote is worth knowing, though. Are we going to live in a world where some American puts up social media, posts and gets to some airport somewhere and is arrested? Are we also concerned about the impact that some of their policies are having on our social media platforms? As you recently saw, you know, X is facing this massive multi-million-dollar fine, and they're going to have to pay, I guess, if they want to continue to operate. But I think, more importantly, I think it touches on the broader question that is asked a little bit earlier. We all talk about these alliances. In many cases, our alliances with our European partners are built on our common principles, our common values, as much as anything else. These aren't just a geopolitical arrangement. It's an alliance with like-minded countries with whom we share values and principles. And one of those values and principles, we hope, is freedom and the freedom of expression. And we're concerned that that is eroding. This is Rubio telegraphing to the EU that, you know, there's a lot more to, you know, calling yourself the free world than, you know, to being one. There's a lot more to it. But then we get this on X. According to the High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, at Kaja Kallas, traveling is a privilege, not a right. And she said traveling to the EU is a privilege. Emmanuel Macron, he got out there and said France condemns the visa restriction measures taken by the United States against Thierry Breton and the four other European figures. These measures amount to intimidation and coercion aimed at undermining European digital sovereignty. I have been a member of NATO. I have been in NATO, as some of you have been in NATO if you've been stationed in Europe. And I'm unconvinced that we need to continue to do this if this is where they want to go. This is what we were protecting them against. Yes, we still have geopolitical interests in common, but now the countries that make up NATO are becoming unrecognizable to me. The free world used to mean something. So for me, laying down the marker is the right thing to do. And if the Europeans don't like it, I guess they could take up their own defense and defend themselves and see how much fun they have with that one. So, just a thought. Now, right now, here in the United States, crime is down and a whole bunch of guys are pouncing on this one. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
One thing to remember about crime is that crime is complex. As Benjamin Disraeli might have said, and Mark Twain said he said, there are three kinds of lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. And crime reporting in the U.S. probably checks all three boxes. But the news this year is good, because murder's down, perhaps by the greatest margin ever. Killings in the U.S. plunged by nearly 20% compared to last year, following a COVID-era spike in violence, according to the Real-Time Crime Index. In total, there were 5,912 murders recorded in the U.S. between January and October 2025, compared to 7,369 during the same period in 2024. That's on top of a 15% drop between 2023 and 2024. Murders are down 16% in Minneapolis, 19% in L.A., 20% in New York City, and 28% in both Chicago and the District of Columbia. So to what do we attribute the drop? And that's where we get into the Mark Twain turf. Could it possibly be better enforcement? Coming from X, Steve Guest says, well, Democrats don't believe this is possible. Murders are down nearly 20%, the largest one-year drop on record. Turns out that arresting criminals and deporting illegal aliens helps lower crime. And it's interesting to look at the crime stats. Theft. Motor vehicle theft is down 23.2%. Murder, 19.8%. Robbery, 18.3%. Burglary, 14.8%. Property crime, 12.3%. Violent crime, 10.2%. Theft, 8.9%. Rape, 8.7%. Aggravated assault, 7.5%. All of these are down. And all of this has to help, right? Many of those blue cities still have Soros-funded prosecutors who will go to superhuman contortions to avoid sending criminals to jail. But when you look at the numbers in D.C. and Chicago, it's tempting to say that the National Guard moving into the district and threatening to do it in Chicago may have had something to do with it. And handing Trump a PR win is certainly enough to motivate even the bluest of politicians. Tim Walz didn't get serious about sending the National Guard into Minneapolis during the George Floyd riots until Trump threatened, absurdly, to send the 82nd Airborne. Of course, now we know that he should have sent them in because you send those guys in first. And the fact that Trump and the Republicans are pouncing all these numbers is triggering Big Left. All of it is there. All the evidence is there. And long story short, Trump too has the will. Prior administrations lack to enforce the law in the interior. Has a large population of removable aliens to choose from, thanks to the non-enforcement under Biden, and has the detention space to hold them, you know. Now, National Public Radio doesn't have any of that. They're not having any of that. And they may have a point when it comes to nationwide patterns. That we get this from them. During 2020 and 2021, homicide rates surged across the U.S. Now the nation is simply on the other side of that surge. There was a wide array of stresses, economic, financial, psychological, that the pandemic produced, according to Adam Gelb, president of the Council on Criminal Justice, which researches criminal justice policies. And there were greater opportunities to settle beefs with rivals, precisely because there were fewer people on the streets and fewer cops on the streets. Then John Roman, who directs the Center on Public Safety, says it's helpful to think of violence as an epidemic. More crime leads to more crime, and less leads to less. Just like more instances of a virus can lead to more people becoming infected. If epidemic causes things to spiral up, they should create virtuous cycles on the way down. Fewer serious crimes. There are the more resources law enforcement has to investigate each crime. Now, that could pass the do you believe your lying eyes test. Crime is down, right? Now, being NPR, they've got to advocate for government spending. They said between March and May 2020, the local government workforce of the U.S. shrank by around 10%. Now, local government jobs have rebounded. I guess that's it. I guess it was the unemployed government workers who were doing the shooting. So when you take a tour through these stats, there's something there for everybody, except the gun control advocates, of course. They never like this kind of thing. This is nobody likes that. Gun control advocates hate when this happens. But what do you say to this? What do people say to this? What do the controlling people want to do? It's going to be hard to fight against this because right now, what's going on right now today is interesting because we were going through a rough patch there for a second. And now it's like we're rebounding again. And that's probably because of the direction we were going in to begin with. Now, while I sit here and I think about how many people they're going after and all the other things they're doing right now and what we're watching happen with NATO and Europe and all this other stuff, it's hard not to just sit back and go, we're back, aren't we? I think we're very near being back. I also believe that we got a long way to go. And that's okay. We're always going to have a long way to go. I'm very... Okay, I guess I froze there. My software freezes again. Let's put it up and then... Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Terry. Yes, sir. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Can you turn your radio down? Turn your radio down for me there. Yes, sir.
There we go. How's that?
I'm good to go.
All right. So, yeah, you were spot on about this money going to Europe and propping them up, and clearly that has to come to an end. And same with South Korea, you know, Japan, we got troops all over the place. One of the other places that I would think you would agree that we need to cut the $8 billion a year, or 7.8 last year, was Israel. We keep them propped up, and I think Tucker and Steve Bannon make a good point about, man, you got free health care, free college, and it's all on my dime. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you at least you didn't lie through your teeth this time to get on the air.
What are you talking about?
Don't waste my time with that kind of stuff. Don't waste my time with that kind of stuff. Especially if you're not one of those... just don't waste my time with that. But thanks for the call, nonetheless. Happy New Year. As we go along, I kind of think at some point we're probably going to switch over to some sort of a car besides gas-driven cars. And, I think it should be our choice and not a centralized government. This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
A lot of pundits out there are, they're crowing about the 2% decline in U.S. electric vehicle sales in 2025 compared to the year before. Francis Menton, a lawyer who writes for the Manhattan Contrarian blog, claims vindication for his prediction in February 2023 that electric vehicles would not sweep the country and become the dominant form of transportation. Now, his reasoning for this was sound. He said it was always wise, it is always wise to bet against central planning for the economy. And this, in this case, it amounted to state CO2 emission goals, CAFE mileage requirements, and federal and state tax subsidies. The one big beautiful bill ended the $7,500 tax credit for EV purchases, and President Trump on December 3rd issued an order to roll back CAFE standards to levels at which combustion vehicles can comply. Like Menton, I don't like central planning. I don't support mileage standards or subsidies, especially the way they go about doing it. I mean, you know, they're not, they'll have a couple of cars that are so small you can't pry yourself into them, and that is what brings down their overall gas mileage. Americans have proven in the past that the best route to prosperity and health is free competition without government meddling. But that's not what we have anymore. Our own government is denying Americans the opportunity to buy the cars of their choice by imposing huge tariffs on low-priced electric vehicles, which are pouring into the rest of the world. And that's the truth. China and India and even Mexico are building low-cost, I mean, absurdly inexpensive cars, whereas ours are absurdly expensive. Now, I'm not really wild about bringing the Chinese into the market because I just don't trust their some of their stuff with some of the stuff that they build, some of their engineering quality control. But right now, in the rest of the world, EV sales are booming. Up 21% through November compared to last year. In all, sales of cars and trucks powered by electricity will reach 20 million by year end. In 2020, global sales were just 3 million. Now, China, who is an enemy, they build a very inexpensive electric vehicle. And they come with a special 100% U.S. tariff, initially imposed by Joe Biden in 2024 and extended under Donald Trump. Now, the reason Biden imposed it is different from the reason that Trump kept it. Trump kept it because he was going to do tariffs anyway. Joe Biden did it because he wanted to be able to spend more money with those subsidies. But right now, today, those electric vehicles are effectively barred from the U.S. market, which is the world's second largest market after China itself. And nevertheless, China sells 62% of the world's electric vehicles and 71% of the global batteries. The EU has high tariffs on Chinese EVs, 43%, but the UK does not. So right now, the British are rushing to buy electrics like those offered by BYD, which is one of the builders. And BYD is the world's largest EV maker. And they're selling 10 times as many cars in the UK as it did last year. Total EV sales in the UK have jumped 25% this year, and 22.7% of vehicles registered in the country in 2025 are fully electric, compared with a little less than 10% in the US. They're building them 25% more cheaply than Western competitors. But what they've done is they've made it to it is where the vehicle itself is no longer a rich person's toy. They have something called the Dolphin Surf. That's a BYD car. It has a list of 18,650 pounds or $25,129. The company's Seagull starts at under $8,000 in China. Mexico is promising to build a line of economy EVs that will debut next year and cost between $4,400 and $7,400 US. All of those in US dollars, excuse me. There are certain things about EVs that are better. They have fewer moving parts. They're cheaper to build and operate. Although you can't tell that based on the price, because they're subsidized through the eyeballs here in the United States. They also have instantaneous torque for those of you that like to take off of the, you know, take off from the stoplight like you're being shot out of a cannon. Even the General Motors Hummer EV can go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. They're fun to drive if you can keep it on the road. Nations concerned with that have been subsidizing EVs, concerned with climate change. But the economics of all of this have changed, and subsidies are no longer necessary to get people to buy electric. You're seeing the same phenomenon in electricity generation at utility plants. Because of technological innovation, there are some people that are just, you know, finding it to be cheaper if they have enough buildup. But you got to have a lot of buildup. A lot of buildup. Now, I don't know if it's going to be EVs that are going to be the future. But let's see what happens in the market by dropping the subsidies. And, you know, I don't know that we should fling open. And, some, you know, somebody's talking about the movie Leave the World Behind, where the Teslas all become sentient and start blocking the roads. But those were all Teslas, dear texter. Those weren't the Chinese EVs. Eventually, all of this is going to change. I mean, right now they have... And listen, when I saw this, I was like, well, that is cheaper than most of them. And then I said, but that is $3 million. Now they're making jets that will carry people, right? Personally owned jets that if you had some really decent financing, you could use to start a business, and then you would have a jet. And they're getting cheaper. And technology is a great thing if it's given the chance to mature. But let's leave the choices to everybody in the United States. Now, one of the things that Jordan Peterson didn't like, and one of the reasons he did everything he did, was not so much about censorship of speech, but about compelled speech. And yeah, we got to watch out for compelled speech. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. compelled speech. Like, you know, trans women are real women. That's compelled speech. That's one of those things like the troll was using where it says you would agree. Wouldn't you have to agree? That kind of thing. Compelled speech. This is the forcing of citizens to repeat approved views and values. And sometimes when the faction assumes power, they want to seek to censor opposing views and then compel the endorsement of approved actions. And well, in Washington and Illinois, they were facing some setbacks. In Washington State, many have developed what seems to be a certain appetite for compelled speech. They recently pushed through legislation that would have compelled priests and other clerics to rat out congregants who confessed to certain criminal acts. And, well, that is flagrantly unconstitutional. Despite that, the Democratic-controlled legislature and Democratic governor pushed it through. And the Catholic Church responded to the enactment by telling priests that any compliance would lead to their excommunication. Then U.S. District Court Judge Lane D. Johnson enjoined the law, and the Trump administration sued the state over its effort to turn priests into sacramental snitches. Only after losing in court did the state drop its efforts. Then, at the University of Washington, they've been fighting to punish professors who refuse to conform to their own orthodox values. In 2022, Professor Stuart Ridges triggered a firestorm when he refused to attach a pre-written Indigenous land acknowledgement statement to his course syllabi. And those statements are often accompanied by inclusive and tolerant language of fostering different viewpoints in an academic community. But when Regis decided to write his own land acknowledgement, university administrators dropped any pretense of tolerance. He was not willing to copy and paste onto his syllabus a statement in favor of the indigenous land claim of the Coast Salish peoples of the land which touches the shared waters of all tribes and bands within the Suquamish, Tulalip, and Muckleshoot nations. Instead, he said, I acknowledge that by the labor theory of property, the Coastal Salish people can claim historical ownership of almost none of the land currently occupied by the University of Washington. And his reference is a nod to John Locke. He believed in natural rights, including the right to property created through one's labor. The framers would have been appalled by efforts to compel speech as an example of democratic despotism, and the framers saw the greatest danger to our system as coming not from a tyrant, but from the tyranny of the majority. And Regis came face to face with the rage of the majority faction defied. He was told that although the university land acknowledgement was optional, his own acknowledgement was not allowed because it contributed to a toxic environment. Well, the Ninth Circus, I'm sorry, Circuit. No, they're a circus. The Ninth Circus ruled in Regis' favor and allowed his lawsuit to move forward. And Judge Daniel Bress wrote, the student discomfort with a professor's views can prompt discussion and disapproval, but this discomfort is not grounds for the university retaliating against the professor. In Illinois, Democrats have taken up the cudgel of compelled speech on the issue of abortion. Again, over objection that the law was unconstitutional. Democrats and Governor J.B. Pritzker passed a law that said that all health care providers, including pro-life and religious pregnancy help centers, must extol to their parents the benefits of abortion, even if they have faith-based objections to abortion. Now, the Catholic Conference of Illinois and other religious organizations are represented by the Beckett Fund, a leading defender of religious liberty in the courts. And a district court recently struck down the law. But Illinois refuses to give up. It is appealing the case in the hope of forcing pro-life health professionals to espouse their benefits of abortions. Cardinal Blaise Kupich, the Archbishop, warned this week that the church's pro-life mission is under attack in Illinois and called on every Catholic to oppose this inhumane mandate. Note that neither the constitutional guarantee of free speech, nor that of free exercise, deterred those efforts to compel speech. It is the very face of democratic Marxist despotism as the majority brushes aside disfavored views and values as toxic or harmful. Here we are, 250 years after our founding, and the seeds for majoritarian tyranny remain in this democratic system. It is indeed a shame. I read a lot about the downfall of Hollywood. But once upon a time, Hollywood made really good products. And a lot of you are off this whole week. And in just a second, I'm going to make a few unsolicited suggestions for you to do a little binge watching, you know, because I mean, if I were off, I'd be doing a little binge watching of some of this stuff, because there's just some films that came, you know, before my birth that are just so good. Absolutely just great films. And I would absolutely binge watch them every chance I get. But you got to know what they're called, and you got to know where to find them. And, well, you know, between now and New Year's, you got plenty of time to do that. So that in just a second. This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.